Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stanis, and I'm excited today to bring you Tara Scubella on the show today. Tara Scubella is the founder and guide of Earth Tantra. She is an earthing, grounding expert, level 4 certified Tantra guide, and wilderness survivalist. She has over 22 years experience working in women's outdoor wilderness therapy, social services, family youth programming, adoption, outdoor guiding, earth science teaching, and so much more. You may know her from the Discovery Channel's Naked and Afraid as having the most bug bites on record. Tara lives in truth, in harmony with Mother Earth by calling her nearly off-grid tiny house on the side of a mountain just outside Ouray, Colorado, home. Tara says her purpose and calling is to guide others to root and bear their souls in order to connect with themselves and others in an authentic and more intimate way. She's going to be giving a workshop at the Woman of Wisdom Conference. It's called Honor Your Feminine Power, Divine Feminine Ceremony, and that will be our workshop. Our conference is in Seattle at February 14th through the 16th. So welcome, Tara. I'm just going to get her live.
Having me, I'm excited to be here.
Okay, and am I saying your name right? Is it Tara or Tara? Or?
Thank you for asking. It's Tara. Yeah.
Tara, okay. I thought it was, and then I just heard myself saying Tara. I was like, what am I doing? Okay, Tara. Okay, well, let's start off. I want to first, before we get into all the details about Naked and Afraid and everything else, tell us about what drew you to that point? You know, you have 22 years of teaching experience, outdoor education, guiding, survival. So how has all that informed your current work?
Yes, my current work right now, it's a compilation of everything throughout my life. And when we talk a little bit more about my experience on Naked and Afraid, it will tie in together. But right now, my purpose is to help other people heal with nature and transform with Tantra. And my experience in the outdoor wilderness therapy field, teaching earth science, I have an earth science teaching degree and background, and working outdoor in other areas and capacities, I really was able to witness not only myself, but other people and the changes that happens when we're outside in nature, and specifically grounding and earthing. And at the time, I didn't even know what grounding and earthing was. I discovered that much later. And I've always been an outdoor person. Even as a kid, I would get lost in the cornfields and play in the creeks and ride my bike for miles and miles, and just being outside, and that's still true with me today. I have to be with with Mother Earth and nature.
So tell us about, you have a degree in earth science. So how is that defined?
Yes. So I taught earth science education in public school, middle school and high school. It's part of a science curriculum usually in most schools. So learning about the earth and its processes, oftentimes it incorporates astronomy as well.
Oh, great. Something that wasn't available when I went to school.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, that's great. It's I think it would, great background for children, especially to learn about our earth and the value of our earth and why we have to take care of our earth. I imagine some of that work is in there too.
Yes, the environmental earth aspect is definitely part of curriculum these days. I actually didn't take any courses like that until I was in college myself. So that environmental science was new to me in college. But that was back in, the early 90s. So.
Well, so let's dig in here about, because so you had a profound spiritual awakening that changed your life, February 2015. Now, was that being in the Naked and Afraid show? Was that when that happened? Or?
It was. So before I was on Naked and Afraid, I was in a really unhealthy marriage and a really unhealthy relationship. And I'm a mom. My daughter was a teen at the time. And I just knew that something wasn't right. Like the life in me, my vitality was disappearing. And I was a really long distance runner at the time. And I was maybe physically healthy, but not mentally or spiritually healthy. And my happiness, I could feel, and my joy was slowly slipping away. And I was searching for something, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't call out to the universe. I didn't even know what that was at the time or how to do that or anything to set an intention. But in my mind, I just knew that something had to change and I didn't know what it was. And I was writing a blog called Restless Genes. I have ADHD. And it was my journey of adult ADHD. And a casting company found me online searching for people for this television show called Naked and Afraid with the Discovery Channel. And they found me through there, emailed me. We scheduled a phone call, and they called me and said, hey, we think you'd be really good for this television show called Naked and Afraid. And I said, what's that? I had no idea. And sure enough, they told me a little bit about it, told me to check it out, and I did. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. This is something that I can do. And I can put my survival skills to the true test. Everything I had learned in my previous jobs and careers and hiking the Colorado Trail and wilderness therapy. And so I called them back. I said, yes, I want to try out. And so I was cast fairly quickly, actually. And everything just aligned very perfectly in every way. And then I found myself on a plane to the Pearl Islands, Isla San Jose on the Pacific coast of Panama. And I was out there. But what was different in this experience, I had spent over 600 nights under the stars before then. So lots and lots and lots of outdoor time, right? But when I was out there, I was stripped of everything, naked and afraid. You are stripped of your clothing and the premises, no food, no water, no clothing. One man, one woman survive if you can. And that's the whole challenge. And so while I was out there naked in my most raw, vulnerable, primal form, I started to experience something, and I could feel a shift within my body. I contribute most of it to earthing. So earthing is being in direct contact with Mother Earth. And so when you're naked, you are in constant contact with Mother Earth. Feet, when you sit down, when you lay down, I was in contact with her constantly. And I still, I can't put words to the shift that I was experiencing out there. But all I know is that it regrounded and re-centered me and recalibrated me to be the person who I was meant to be on this earth. And while my body was detoxing and I was going through this healing earthing process, there were multiple other things that happened with the survival piece. But when I was finished with the challenge, I lasted the full 21 days. I came home, and after my body started to heal, I lost an extreme amount of weight. I was under 100 pounds, and I was very thin and malnourished. And about 2 weeks after that of reintroducing food back into my life, and becoming a little more mentally healed as well, because I was kind of in this bubble head when I came back because of the malnourishment with my body. I experienced a spiritual awakening about 2 weeks after from returning home. And it was, I didn't even know what was going on. I thought I was going crazy. Absolutely crazy. I felt so blissful, more so than I had ever felt in my life. I had like this intense download of just knowing knowing who I was, knowing my place in the universe. And I was not spiritual at all before this. It was very new to me. And I contacted one of my good girlfriends who teaches yoga, and I told her what was happening to me. And she said, I think you're having a spiritual awakening. And again, I'm like, what's that? So I searched online, and with her help, I realized this is what was happening. And then from that point on, I had to make a lot of changes in my life. And I had to, because I use the word had, because I wanted to follow my truth and what was being presented to me. And I didn't really question much. I just went with it, and I trusted the whole process. So it's a lot more detailed than that.
Oh, but, yeah, I'm sure. Well,
that's it in the gist.
Yes. Well, I think an experience like that would change your life, and different for different people, I'm sure. But, you know, and just thinking of how you'd survive 21 days, you're naked, have to, you know, how did you eat? Sleeping on a bare ground, yeah. Getting, you know, you got all the bugs, you got all, I don't know if there was animals on that island, but, you know, it's a test of courage. And I'm just curious, how did you eat and drink? What did you find there?
Yes. So in survival, there's kind of a code or a guideline where we say the rules of three. So 3 minutes without oxygen, our body starts to shut down in various places. 3 days without water, the same. 3 weeks without food. It doesn't necessarily mean within those 3 minutes, 3 days, or 3 hours, or 3 weeks you're going to die, but it just means that your body is starting to use the resources within itself on a level to hurt us or have long-term damage. So oxygen wasn't a problem, but the water. So most locations on Naked and Afraid, you typically have a fairly decent water source or a fairly decent food source. Not all locations are that way. But in my location, we had fresh water. And working in the guiding fields and just learning safe practices with water, you always purify your water. There's many different ways to do that. But that was definitely out of my comfort zone because we did not have fire. And it was our second day out there. And I took a risk of drinking water from the stream. I did that very consciously, though, because my partner, I don't think he was very hydrated going into the challenge because he ended up drinking water very early on the very first day. And I actually waited about 24 hours to see if how his body was going to react to the water. And so I ended up drinking the water straight from the river as well. There's different places where you can gather the water that are best practices of doing that. For example, if you're ever in that situation where you cannot purify water through fire, iodine, whatever the situation is, you want to use the water that's very aerated, so over like a little waterfall or over rocks where there's a lot of bubbles. And so that's where I collected my water. But basically, my diet consisted of water and unripened palm nuts, a lot of termites, and freshwater shrimp that were very small. What else? We ate a bird, which wasn't shown in the episode, a lizard, which wasn't shown on television, and then a snake. So that was my diet.
And the experience of catching those, catching a snake and all that with that. Yeah. And did you have fire that you could cook these, or you had to eat raw?
We did. We ended up having fire. I think on day 2.5 or 3, it may have shown. Sometimes the actual timeline is a little bit different than what's shown on TV.
Yeah.
But we eventually did. Actually, our very first touch was the bird, and my partner killed the bird, and we happened to have fire that day, and were able to cook the bird. And going into the challenge, I was a pescatarian at the time, but I put that aside because I knew I could not be picky in what I wanted and how I wanted to nourish my body. So I did eat meat. During that challenge.
Yeah. Well, you survived 21 days. I don't think everybody on the show does, from what I remember. I'm not sure. I did watch a couple episodes once, I think. Kind of remember that. It's quite an experience. Well, so that was a spiritual awakening. And then it seems like your next step or stage was exploring the practice of Tantra. And and so you had... And I'm going to have you, you know, describe for your work what you what is Tantra for you. There's many different, you know, aspects of Tantra, I know, but you went to did a month long training of tribal Tantra in Thailand. So let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So during my spiritual awakening, I mentioned I was in a very unhealthy relationship, and a dear friend recommended to me to look into Tantra. It might save my marriage. I knew it wasn't going to save my marriage, but I thought it might help me. And so my very first Tantra teacher was Dawn Cartwright. She's out of California. She's amazing. And it was a red tent and kind of an introduction to Tantra weekend retreat. And right away, I knew that the practice resonated with me, and especially the way that she presented Tantra to the group. And by the end of that weekend, I knew that it was going to be on my path to share Tantra with the world. And so taking other workshops and trainings with multiple teachers, I was searching for a Tantra teacher who offered a teacher certification that was earth-based. And Eugene Hudland, the founder of Tribal Tantra, was in Boulder. I was living in Boulder at the time. And he was offering a course there, and I went to his course. And then he mentioned, oh, by the way, I'm offering a Tantra certification course in Thailand this upcoming winter. And so everything just fell together, of course, so along the way, very wonderfully, and I ended up in Thailand for a month-long immersion course there. And let's see, so I would say that what resonates with me the most in Tantra, well, first of all, the word Tantra means weaving for expansion of, and there's hundreds of modalities within Tantra. And that could be anything from meditation to yoga to connecting with the five senses, breathwork, dance, attachment, sexuality, which a lot of times most people are drawn to the sacred sexuality piece. And I like to weave in the earth base because that's part of my background and my gift to share with the world. And other forms of Tantra, or I guess traditions that resonate with me, are the Buddhist tradition, specifically the meditation pieces, and Green Tara, a deity who is very dear to me, and also Taoist practices, the way to move energy within the body. I've studied with Mantak Chia for a little bit, and I really look up to him. And what he has to offer and his practices. What else? A lot of my offerings are outside and nature-based because of the way that I do weave earth into Tantra. Did I answer your question? Some other things, but
well, it sounds like you assimilate a lot of things together, and you know, you've got your meditation, you've got the earthing that you do. The earth is very important to you in your teaching, so mm-hmm. you're weaving that with the Tantra, and but it's And what I'm gathering from what you're saying is it's truly a spiritual practice. And some people think it's just pure, you know, it's a sexual tantra. And that's many in India or other places that teach it say it's not that at all. It's really a spiritual practice. It might encompass some aspects of sexuality, but that's not really what it's about. It's embracing everything in your life, you know, that we as humans can experience here in a spiritual way of, and maybe you can talk more about that of what has it done for you in changing your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was originally drawn to Tantra for the sacred sexuality piece, like a lot of people. I Googled it and a lot of sexual content came up and I was really interested in that because at the time, I let my personal sexuality die. It had been multiple years in the last part of my relationship with my ex-husband where we were not sexual at all. And even our touch, kissing and hugging had been put off to the side. And so I lost a part of that within me, my connection to my own sexuality. And actually one of the first books that I ever read was a book by Sherry Winston, Women's Anatomy of Arousal. And that particular book is very tantric-like, and a really wonderful book to read. And that was my introduction to reconnecting with my sexuality. And then, of course, Tantra, as you said, is all of life, all parts of life, including our sexuality. And as I was learning Tantra, I discovered that there's so many other practices within. And I learned that right away in my first retreat with Dawn Cartwright. And so Tantra resonated with me as a way of life. So it's not something that you put on the side or you only do, you know, an hour a day of meditation. You incorporate it into all of your life, the way that you eat, the way that you talk and move and think and process things. And it's just a really beautiful practice. And connecting with ourselves, connecting with our higher self, mind, body, and spirit, and then connecting with others and earth is what I like to add on to that as well. I first was guiding people into the practices of Tantra, I mostly worked with women, and then I opened up my offerings to couples and individuals, and now all ages. There's even some workshops that I offer that are for families, that are family-centered. And Tantra is for anybody and everybody. There's so many modalities within Tantra that it can apply not only to yourself or in a romantic relationship, but you can share with your family, with your community, with your friends. It's an all-encompassing life path.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And you mentioned, I think you brought in the earth aspect of it too, and I want to move on to that. The importance of there was a statement I read of yours, to first connect with nature and ourselves before we can fully connect with others in a healthy, authentic, and intimate way. And so that aspect of earthing and grounding and connecting with nature and how that plays a role for you and for others, how others can connect with that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so Mother Earth herself, she vibrates at about a 7.83 hertz, sometimes more. But it's a very low, calming vibration that calms our neural system. So when we're able to connect with her through earthing, again, direct contact with her, and I want to be very specific about that because that's beyond hiking to a mountaintop, running on a trail. And these are all things that are absolutely wonderful and that I incorporate into my life and have on many levels. But just stopping and becoming intimate with her, skin to skin, like she is our mother, and receiving her nurturing love through her vibration calms us down. And it does it, I can't say nearly instantly, because it just depends on the individual and how we're able to receive her. But when we do connect with that vibration, it begins to recenter us. And then I would like to use the term grounding, because most of us understand what the word grounding means. It just means more of a calm state, whether you're referencing that to like a root chakra or out of the monkey mind, or just feeling more calm and relaxed. When we're in that space, we're able to connect better with our energy, with our body, versus our racing mind and attachment to story and why things are happening. We're just being with the energy within us, and that creates a more authentic self. So, for example, I wonder if you read that, what you were saying through the Earth Tantra retreats that I offer, because I often use that phrase there, where after experiencing meditation with Mother Earth, in that particular retreat, there's about 20, 22 hours where we learn a specific breathing practice and connect with her. We are able to more authentically connect with other people from that grounded, centered space to exchange energy in a healthier way, versus perhaps like triggers coming up, like, am I doing this right? Who is this person in front of me? It's just a more grounded, centered space to connect authentically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to move into that, using that as a base. It's kind of what you use in your base, like for this workshop. We're going to be honoring our feminine power. And so let's talk about that, what that means to you, how you draw that, you know, how do you bring that out another woman, their feminine power? Because you're going to be doing a divine feminine ceremony at the conference. So let's talk about that feminine power.
Yes. First of all, I want to say that divine feminine ceremonies were my first offerings with Tantra. So it's a ceremony that's really dear to my heart, and it comes from a really special place. And I also experienced my first Tantra workshop or retreat with Dawn Cartwright and a red tent ceremony. So I think this is really important. And it's a time, so the ceremony is a time to honor and to love ourselves for our femininity. So kind of think of it as a sacred circle of womanhood. It gives us time to connect with ourself within, and I'll be guiding us on how to connect with the body and our feminine and masculine spaces within through some breath work and meditation. And it's really beautiful, because when women come together, especially if there's multi-generations attending, I think it's a different type of nurturing energy that develops in trust. And an opportunity to connect deeper with the art of giving and loving, because in the ceremony, we'll be connecting, without saying too much, with a partner or partners. I'm not exactly sure how I'll hold the space. It depends on when we get there. But we will be honoring each other through adoration, different practices to honor the person in front of us for their feminine energy, and also honor ourselves. Yeah.
Well, what does feminine energy, what are the aspects of those from your, I talk about a lot of people I talk to on the show or come in contact with, because Women of Wisdom, but everybody has a different sense of what is feminine energy?
Yes. Oh, I know. There's so many different aspects that we can blend into feminine energy. But maybe coming more from a tantric tradition, I'll explain feminine energy as Shakti. So Shakti is a deity who is of the feminine divine. And she embodies the qualities of creation, of motherhood, nurturing, movement,
fluidity, creativity, life. And maybe to introduce her consort, her opposite, but yet partner, Shiva, who is the deity that embodies the masculine. And if you can kind of think of the opposite of that, pure consciousness, direction, focus, not being swayed, but also not quite thinking of the masculine as a hard, because the masculine also embodies very compassionate energy as well. So thinking feminine as an energy versus a body, as a woman, thinking the feminine as an energy, the masculine as an energy versus a man. And we all, no matter what genders we identify as, we all have both feminine and masculine energy within us. So we embody both of these qualities, all of these qualities within. Some people may resonate maybe 50-50. Some people resonate more with a feminine energy than a masculine, or masculine energy than a feminine, again, setting aside genders. So this is what femininity means to me and what resonates with me. And it's very personal as well. I feel like in my childhood and my early adulthood, I really embodied the feminine energy. And in my marriage, that ended up switching, and I embodied more of a masculine energy, which wasn't wrong or anything at the time, but it wasn't natural to me. And something felt imbalanced. And so part of my tantric pathway was reconnecting with my femininity. And it took quite a long time to learn how to embrace my femininity and reconnect with those qualities again.
Yeah. And what do you have to say to people who want to touch into their femininity? What advice do you give them?
Mm-hmm. Bringing in different practices that support fluidity, creativity, movement. A lot of times dance is incorporated with that fluid dance. And if folks are familiar with ecstatic dance, chakra dance, five rhythms, that's a really beautiful way to bring that in, because that is a very creative, fluid dance in the very present moment. I also feel like connecting with our womb space, no matter what gender we are, the sacral chakra, which is the space below the belly button, is of feminine energy. So connecting with that chakra through the multiple practices out there, that's something people can even Google if you're listening and you want to connect with that space. Again, no matter what physical parts you have within you, that is considered the womb space on all people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a feeling that's the kind of where you go touch into that feminine power. I've interviewed other people who, you talk about that 12-inch gap from your mind to go to your heart, and talking to women who work in the feminine energy and the chakras and all that, they say it's really going down to that womb space to gather your power. Mm-hmm. And it is a powerful place. We're afraid to go down there. There's a lot of fears in the lower chakras, you know. And it's important to go there and sense it, feel it, and, you know, even go through your fears and with you, bringing your heart there, you know, I would think. I'm just one thing that you talk about is embracing, I love this statement, embracing the wild femininity and wild passions. So
yes.
Given all this work that you've done, how does that play out in your life? You know, you have been at this 22 years, you have been out in the naked and afraid, eating bugs and sleeping on the ground, and then you're off to, you know, doing the tantra work. I think a lot of people would be afraid to, you know, go into that wildness, wild passions, wild femininity.
Yes.
It can bring up tears.
Yes. One of the things that I experience being outside and connecting with my primal feminine energy, as well as masculine, but I'm focusing on feminine right now, is embodying like that inner child that comes out in the curiosities and the trust with Mother Earth. And I'm a naturist, and I love just discarding my clothes and being outside, getting my hands into the dirt of Mother Earth. Dirt doesn't scare me. I could totally cover myself with giving myself a dirt bath in the forest. And beautiful fires. I love playing with the elements of nature, dance, being with other women, and hearing, it's just embodying what comes up with emotion, I feel like, is also very wild and feminine state of being. And whether it's laughter, joy, happiness, or the wild wolf within that just wants to shriek and scream and get on all fours and crawl around on the dirt and get dirty, or the sadness or sorrow that may come up of loss, and just being very fluid with emotions and learning to express them, I feel is part of the wild journey within. And on a personal note, I've done a lot of work with my throat chakra, and part of my journey was expressing through sound and movement, and whether that was screaming at the top of my lungs in sacred circle or by myself, humming, chanting, crying, just letting that out through the throat, through my mouth, has been really powerful for me in my journey. And so I encourage other people to explore and see what works for them, to embrace their wild side.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you live outside. You live out of the grid. You live out in an area where you can probably go out in nature and scream, and nature is very comforting in that. You know, I mean, here living in the city, it's kind of, where can I do that? But, you know, we don't, most people live in a place where maybe it just takes you an hour to get out, into some woods and be by yourself. It reminded me, you were talking about being buried in the earth. I did something years ago, and it was in Seattle in kind of a wooded area where we were buried. I think I had a straw to breathe. I wasn't naked, but I forget what I was wearing. And it was very comforting. You would think it'd bring up fear, but it was very comforting to be totally surrounded by the earth and the soil and the ground. It was very interesting to experience that. Well, go ahead.
And some people find that connection more through the element of water than earth. Earth is my healing element, but also water, standing in water, letting water flow by you, whether it's a river or a hot spring or your bathtub or shower, can be just as connecting too.
Yes, that brings me to whenever I have sort of a healing time, emotional release time, or kind of a healing experience. I take a bath every night, but going into water afterwards is so healing after you've had deep experiences. It just, so that's another way to kind of bring everything back to your body. Bring, you know, surround yourself with water. It's very comforting too. Well, because people are going to be probably interested in taking your workshop, what would you tell people to prepare for your Divine Feminine ceremony?
Yes, preparation, not much actually. Come as you are. if you can bring a pillow, water, or a blanket, we will be on the floor. That would be wonderful. If you
end up wearing something that you have with you that's meaningful or white or something that feels feminine to you, you are welcome to bring that, but it's not expected at all. And arise mindfully and open to the journey during the ceremony. One of the things that I like to tell people is set aside any expectations and just be open to what unfolds, because that's when we learn and connect with the most versus formulating and being attached to what we want to unfold while we're there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking there's a little bit of trust that goes on here too, trusting yourself, trusting the other people you're going to be with, and allowing yourself to trust for you to be open to the experience. Yeah. And that it's
Thank
safe.
You.
And
yeah.
we do mm-hmm. create, that's one thing about woman wisdom. It does create a safe container for women to be and experience and be witnessed. And so this is going to be a wonderful time for women to be, to be witnessed in this ceremony.
Yes. And the ceremony unfolds very slowly. We will drop into space. I mentioned already some meditation and breath work and connecting with our feminine and masculine energies within. And we very, I'll say gently, build up the trust to the actual ceremony of giving and receiving. So yes, thank you for
mm-hmm.
adding that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Tara.
You're welcome, Chris. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to...
Yeah, well, we look forward to meeting you in Seattle. So everyone, I want to invite you to go to the website, www.womenofwisdom.org. Look for the 2020 conference. And in the schedule, it gives all the details of all the events, and you'll see Tara's. And you can actually listen to this interview there, too. Check out her workshop. Hers is on Saturday afternoon, and so the whole weekend is February 14th to the 16th. You can register for one day, Saturday or Sunday, just one day, or you can register for both. Just really immerse yourself. And then Friday night, we have a separate event. It's a concert with Wendy Rule. So I invite everybody to check that out at our womenofwisdom.org website. And also you can visit Tara's website, read more about her. Her website is earthtantra.com. So I will be continuing to interview more people on this show, women who will be coming to present at Women of Wisdom. So I look forward to being back here again. I think my next interview is next Monday. Okay, so bye, Tara, and we'll see you in February.
All right, see you in February. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.